We're continuing the Shir on the Kutei Halachos, Yoredeya Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Avoida Salilim, Halacha Beis. Elil Shel Akum, an idol of a non-Jew, Neser Miyad. As soon as the non-Jew makes it, even if he hasn't worshipped it yet, even if he hasn't done anything to worship it, it's treif immediately. It's forbidden. It's osur bahano. A Jew's not allowed to use it. A Jew's not allowed to sell it. Zero. It becomes asur right away. V'shel Yisroel, whereas an idol that's built by a Jew, einoy asura ad sheteyoved, does not become forbidden until it's actually worshipped. That's one difference between an idol of a non-Jew, idol of a Jew. Uleinyan bitul hu lehefech. And when it comes to nullifying it, the reverse is true. The law is just the opposite. Kavoidas elilim shel Yisrael chamura leinyan bitul. An idol that's been worshipped by a Jew has stricter laws as far as being able to negate it. Kavoidas elilim shel akum yesh lo bitul. An idol of a non-Jew, if the non-Jew wakes up one morning and decides this is a piece of trash, or he ain't interested, he fell in love with the idol one day and the next day he fell out of love. He don't love the idol anymore, so it's finished. It becomes a piece of wood, a piece of silver, a piece of gold. It loses its forbiddenness. V'shel Yisroel, whereas an idol that was worshipped by a Jew, ein lo bitul oilomus, can never be nullified. It can never be made kosher. That item is forbidden, off limits, permanently. That's one law in the laws of Avodah Zarah. And the other law that we mentioned, al kol ha'avera shebetoyro yavor val yehoreg. Regarding all other laws in the Torah, a Jew should rather commit the sin and not let himself be killed. Chutz mi avodah zorah gilorai shvichas damim, except for these three, idol worship, adultery, and murder. Ve'im ho'akum mechavein lahaviro yaldos. Now, but if a goy approaches a Jew and he's trying to convert him, then even if it's not these three sins, if it's anything, if the goy tells him to do any kind, break any law in the Torah, he's not allowed to. And he has to give up his life rather than break a law in the Torah. If the goy is doing it in order to convert him, if that's the thing, that's second rule. U'bishas ha'gzera, and when the non-Jews have issued a decree, a major decree for all Jews to stop keeping Shabbos, to stop keeping kosher, that kind of thing, afilu arkas of the Mesani, yorg v'alyavar. Then even if it comes to changing your shoelaces, a Jew has to be prepared to give up his life rather than change to be like the goyim. These are several of the laws. Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain them and tie them all together now, show the connection based on Likutei Moran. Paragraph Aleph. Ki isa b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal b'Likutei Tanino simen ayin ches, b'maymar hamaschil b'inyan hanhogas hapshitus. Rabbeinu Zal, in chapter 78, in the second half of Likutei Moran, which begins speaking about the simplicity of a tzaddik. Umevoyer Shom, Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, Sheboeis shemuchrochim lehizbatel mena Torah, that even the biggest tzaddik, the greatest tzaddik, can't be attached to the Torah 24/7. He has to go to the bathroom. He has to do certain other functions where he's not in a bathroom. A person's not allowed to be thinking Torah. So Rabbeinu Zal says there, Hashem designed the world in such a way that even the person who would want to have the greatest dveikus, attachment to the Torah, must be detached at times. He has to take breaks. Oy, that's one example. Oy, Choanoshim hapshutim sheinim yecholim lomoid. Or you have simple people who can't even learn 10 hours a day or 15 hours a day. They take much longer breaks. They take 20-hour-a-day breaks. They're learning for 4 hours a day or 3 hours a day. And the rest of the day, they're being mevatel from the Torah because of parnosa, because of other situations, whatever it is. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, kulam mekablim chiyus al yedei ish poshut hagodol min ha-Torah ha-ne'elemes. All of these people, when they're detached from the Torah, what's keeping them alive? We know that the Torah is called the tree of life. We know if a person stops breathing physically, for a minute or two, it's all over, finished. So then how is it possible for a human being to be able to detach himself from the Torah for 10 minutes, for an hour, and still be alive? Rabbi Nathal explains over there that just like when Hashem first created the world, He didn't give the Torah right away. He gave the Torah after 2,500 years almost, 2448. In that year, the Torah was given. So the question is, what kept the world going until then? If the Torah is the tree of life, what kept the world alive until then? The answer is, Rabbeinu Zal speaks over there about the Torah Ne'elemes, the hidden Torah, the Torah that was hidden in the 10 statements of creation. When Hashem first created the world, and He said, let there be light, Vayomer Elokim Yeor, Vayomer Elokim Yirakia, in those 10 statements of creation are hidden the 10 commandments, the Torah. This is called Torah Ne'elemes. And this is what sustained the world until the actual Torah, until the revealed Torah was given. So Rabbi Nizal says there that everyone in the world, the Jews, who take a break from learning Torah, or Lahavdil, the non-Jews, where do they draw their life from? The answer is they draw it from the Ish Poshut HaGodol, from the tzaddik, the greatest tzaddik, who even he takes a break, even he has to break from Torah. And when he breaks, he plugs into this hidden Torah. He plugs into a certain other address. That source has to be available for him, so it's available for the rest of the world also. Everyone else, when they're not connecting to the Torah directly, they're connecting indirectly through this light that kept the world alive before the Torah was given. Rabbi Nizal has a whole Shehu Bechinas Matnas Chinam. This is the concept of the treasury of free gifts. We know that in heaven, usually heaven is called a place of justice, a place of truth. The Bezdin Shelmala, it's called the heavenly court of above. Over there's no tshuva. Once a person passes away, he can't do tshuva. Over there's justice, right? Fair. Punishment, reward and punishment, period. Right? Wrong. It's 90% true or 99% true. The Torah tells us that there is a location in heaven called the Oitzar Matnas Chinam, the treasury of free gifts, where even if a person didn't earn, even if he isn't worthy, Hashem can tap into that Oitzar Matnas Chinam and be able to give the person from there. When Moshe Rabbeinu was praying to get to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't, and it says, Voeschanan el Hashem, I pleaded with Hashem. The Gemara says, Matnas Chinam. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the most qualified Jew, the most worthy Jew, the one who had done the most mitzvahs, the one who pleased Hashem the most, when he was praying to Hashem, he said, Hashem, please give me from your free gifts, implying that who knows? Who knows if I'm worthy? Who knows if I deserve through justice and fairness? But I know, Hashem, that you have this ability to give even if a person doesn't deserve. This Oitzar Matnas Chinam that a person can tap into. And again, that sustains when there isn't justice and fairness in a sense. Shehu Bechinas Kiyum Ho'ilam Koida Matan Torah. This is the concept of what kept the world alive before the Torah was given. She'oz hoya ha-Torah ne'elemes b'derech eretz b'chol advorim sheboilam. At that time, the Torah was hidden in the physical lives that people were leading in the world, in the physical things that they were doing. For example, it's brought, the Zohar HaKadosh brings it, Yaakov Avinu, if you recall, when he parted ways with Lavan, and he told Lavan, I'll make you a deal. All the sheep that are born that are going to have stripes and speckles, those I'll keep. All the normal, the regular sheep you keep. Lavan said, great. He figured 1 in 10,000 are going to be stripes and speckles. Then the Torah says that Yaakov Avinu took these sticks and he whittled them away and he made stripes around them and he put them, he had the sheep looking at them at the time when they were drinking and when they were mating, and this affected the children that were born from them, coming out speckled and striped and everything. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what's the story here? Yaakov Avinu is playing with sticks and with stripes and stars. And what? The Zohar HaKadosh says Yaakov Avinu was accomplishing the tikkun of tefillin. Just like when we put on tefillin, the tefillin around the hand are like a stripe, you know, a black stripe around him. Yaakov Avinu, at that time, this is how he was affecting the Tikkun of Tefillin. The Avos HaKadosh knew the secrets, even though they didn't have the Torah officially, as it was given on Har Sinai. They knew how the Torah was malubosh within Derech Eretz even. They knew how to be able to accomplish the mitzvahs of the Torah through other ways. Ki ha-koil nivra basar b'amorois, because everything was created through the original 10 statements of creation. Ubohem ne'elomim klal kol ha-toiro sheklula baseres ha-dibrois. And within those 10 statements of creation is hidden the entire Torah, which is summarized in the 10 commandments. We know it's brought, if you count the number of letters in the Aseres HaDibrois in Parshas Yisroi, you'll see there's exactly 620 letters corresponding to the 613 mitzvahs of the written Torah and the 7 mitzvahs to Rabbonon. All are marumas, all are hinted to and included in the 10 commandments. Ki Aseres HaDibrois ne'elomim bi'asor mamori shebahem nivroilam. Sheheim ne'elomim b'chol advorim sheboilam. The 10 commandments are hidden in the 10 statements of creation, which are hidden in all the physical things in the world. The trees and that, all of them have those 10 statements of creation inside of them in a hidden manner. Shemik shebechol dovor sheboilam, yesh toiro behelam. In every single thing in the world, there is Torah hidden inside of there. Rabbi Nazal says in a chapter in the Kutumar on Torah Yutes that when we eat, the food that we eat has letters in it. And tzaddikim, when they're eating, they're able to connect to the letters in the food and to unite those letters to form words to draw a much higher level of spiritual energy from the food they eat than we're able to draw. Ube'es bitula shel Torah, and when a person is forced to disengage from the Torah, he separates from the Torah, shemuchrochen lefamim, which a person must do at times to take care of their physical needs, oz mechayin atzmon me'atoyra hanelemes kanal. Then the person sustains himself from that hidden Torah. This is the introduction. This is coming from that chapter on Likutei Moran. This is a very, very short summary of a chapter on Likutei Moran that's like 5 pages or so. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to use this to lead into our discussion about this topic of Avodah Zarah. V'al kein, and therefore, al kol ho'averoi shebatoiro yavor ve'al yehoreg. The rule is that regarding all other sins in the Torah, except for the 3 major ones, a Jew is supposed to do the sin rather than to allow himself to be killed. Zehu bechinas bitula shel Torah zui kiyuma. This follows the concept that the Gemara tells us that sometimes avoiding the Torah, nullifying the Torah, is what upholds the Torah. Kemo shamar Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says regarding Shabbos, if you have a person who's deathly ill on Shabbos, you're allowed to get in a car, you're allowed to pick up a phone, not you're allowed to, you're obligated, you're required to get in a car, pick up a phone, do whatever you have to do, break all the laws of Shabbos in order to keep that person alive, in order to make sure that you save that person's life. And the Gemara says the logic to that is, mutov shi'ischal el Shabbos echod, val yischal el Shabbos isharbe, because we'd rather have a Jew lose one Shabbos, then if this person dies, he's going to lose many Shabboses. In death, he ain't going to be able to keep any, the next 1,000 Shabboses. That's the logic that the Gemara uses. That's a concept of bitul Torah. We're erasing a mitzvah. We're crossing out Shabbos in order to keep Shabbos. We're crossing out one Shabbos in order to keep many. Because we know that the entire world was created only for the Jewish people. As the Medrash says, Bereshis Boro Elokim, Bereshis, because of Reshis, Hashem created. And the Medrash says, Bishvil Yisroel, because of the Jewish people, Shenikra Ureshis, who are called Reshis. There's a pasuk in the Torah, Kodesh Yisroel Hashem, Reshis Tevuasoi. The Jews are called Hashem's first crop. So because of the Jewish people, they were Hashem's main reason for creating the world. V'chol ha'asorah mamorot shebohem nivra ha'olam hakol ha'yo b'shvil Yisrael k'dei she'yikabel Yisrael es ha'Torah. And all the 10 statements of creation with which Hashem created the world were all for the sake of the Jewish people, so that the Jews would eventually receive the Torah, Shehi Klula Ba'aseres Hadibrois, which is included in the 10 commandments. The entire Torah is found in a hidden form within those 10 commandments. K'moshom Rabbi Seinazal, Al Hei de Hashishi, as the Gemara tells us, about the letter He of the word Hashishi. When Hashem first created the world, it says He created the following on the first day, second day, third day. And when it comes to the sixth day, it says Yom Hashishi, the sixth day. When it comes to the other days, it doesn't say Ha. It says Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i, Yom Chamishi. When it comes to the sixth day, it says on the sixth day, Hashem finished heaven and earth. So the Gemara says, this is referring to another sixth day. It's not referring to the sixth day of creation. It's referring to the sixth day of Sivan, when Hashem gave the Torah on Mount Sinai. That's when the creation was really completed. The Gemara says, Kulam tluyim v'yomdim ad yoyim hashishi b'sivan. The entire creation was hanging, suspended, incomplete, until the sixth day of Sivan, Shekiblu Yisrael es HaTorah, when the Jewish people received the Torah. That's when the creation was completed. Nimtza, Sheyisrael heim hachius v'haneshama shel kol ha'ilom eskulam. So therefore, the Jewish people are the life and the soul of the entire, of all the different worlds. Ki kutshebrichu v'oiraisa v'Yisrael kulachad. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah are all one. They are one. Ki Yisrael hem bi'atzmom ha'Torah. Because the Jewish people are the Torah. Bechinas aseres hadibrois. They are the Ten Commandments. Bechinas asorah mamorois haklulam b'bereishis. They are the 10 statements of creation that are all included in Bereishis, in that first statement. Shehu b'chinas Yisroel shenikru Reishis. As we said, one of the nicknames of the Jewish people is Reishis. So that opening statement of creation, Bereishis, because of Reishis, Hashem created heaven and earth and the birds and the sky and everything, it means because of the Jewish people. V'chol habriyo hoysa b'shvil Yisrael, sheheim haneshamo shel kol ha'olam. The entire creation was intended for the sake of the Jewish people, who are the soul of the entire world. Kedei sheyakiru Yisrael oysa yisporach, alidei kol advorim sheboilam, so that the Jewish people should come to recognize Hashem through everything in creation, v'yizdapku bo yisporach loilam, and they should become attached to Hashem permanently, eternally. K'mo shekosu b'Zohar HaKadosh, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, these three famous words, begin d'yishtemoido in lei, that the world was created so that they will come to recognize Him, so that the Jewish people will come to realize Hashem. That was the main purpose of the entire creation. Everything else in the world is there to serve that purpose, to help make the connection between the Jewish people and Hashem. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains further, and these are some of the most important concepts in Yiddishkeit. There are many people who, when asked this question, why did Hashem create the world? They're going to fumfa. They don't have an. They don't know that. I don't really know. You know, they can't answer. And Rav Nosson Zal is giving us very clear, crystal clear, pointed answers to this question.